How many are looking for a word? How many came to hear a word? God's got a word this morning. Tell somebody, God got a word. You better listen. The book of James, chapter 1. And real simple verse that we've, as church folk, amen, I don't think we really know how to handle, but James chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 2. When you found it, everyone say amen. Say, I got it. And it reads on this order, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many different kinds, because you know, tell somebody, I know. That the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And I want to use for a subject this morning, I'm counting it as all joy. I'm counting it as all joy. When we look at this text, it's real important to me, but when I discover that who's giving us this advice about count everything as joy. Now, when we looked here at the book of James, I don't know if you realize it or not, but James is the oldest brother of Jesus. Amen. And I'm sure that by him being entitled with the privilege of being around the Savior, he must have taken in some important knowledge from a man like Jesus. Amen. And you will discover the closeness of James to Jesus. Often we overlook this, but when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, that you will discover that the Bible says that he appeared to James even before he appeared to his apostles. Amen. Help me, somebody. So, in other words, Jesus allowed his brother to see him even before his apostles. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. And then we see that when Jesus got ready to leave here and go back to heaven in Acts 1:14, that we find in the crowd is his brother by the name of James. And when we read a little bit further in Acts chapter 12, we will discover that later on, James will become the leader of the church at Jerusalem. And it's kind of strange because he was having to keep everything in check because the Jews did not want the Gentiles to be able to receive salvation from Jesus Christ. But I come to tell you this morning that whatever you're going through, whatever situation might confront you in your life, that God told me to tell you to count everything as joy. James says, count everything as joy, even in the midst of your situations. And what he's telling us to think about is how we should react to things that take away your joy. Everybody in here, you've been hurt. You've been disappointed. You've been challenged. You've been overwhelmed. You've been down to a point that you thought it was almost over. Trials come in all kind of forms and shapes. And if you're not careful, trials will overwhelm you. But I come to tell you this morning that when trials come into your life, begin to go ahead and give God some praise and count it as joy. There's some things that can happen to you in your life that will cause your joy to fade. Amen. And it don't take real long for your joy to get up and get out your life real quickly. I mean, some of us in here look like we sucking lemon, ain't got no joy, amen. But see, God, there's joy in store for you. Come on now, I know some of y'all pretend that y'all life all gravy. But I promise you, if we investigated everybody's lives in here, it might be gravy, but I bet you it's lumpy. Amen. See, the Bible says that in this life, ye shall have trials and tribulations. Now that sounds like a guarantee. It says, in this life ye shall have trials and tribulations. So in other words, he's saying, get ready. Some stuff about to come down the pipeline that almost will blow your mind. But when it comes, you can't let it catch you slipping. You just count it as joy. Now that you finally admit that you got some trials in your life, you got some problems, then you can discover that your problems can be the source of your joy. What are you talking about, preacher? See, if it never rained, you would not be able to appreciate the sunshine. You wouldn't know what sunshine was about if it was sunny every day. But see, in every life, some rain must fall. And see, when the rain falls, it keeps me looking ahead, looking for a day of sunshine. Somebody say, why do trials come? If everything went perfect in our lives, a whole lot of us would stop praying. A whole lot of us will quit coming to church. Amen. Because you would feel like you didn't really need God anymore because you would have arrived. But see, sometimes God has to keep us on our knees. And see, when you're on your knees, it's kind of real hard to... I know what I'm talking about. See, some of us just call God when we want something from him. Ain't got no fair weather church folk, have we? And when we look in the NIV translation, it says now, consider it pure joy when you face trials of various kinds. And this seems to be real hard. Somebody said, how do I count it as joy when I fall? Well, see, the joy that James is talking about is called pure joy. See, I'm not talking about that fake smile you put on your face when you come in here. After you cried all night long. That's reading them bags up under your eyes, amen. But you're trying to smile and see, mascara and makeup won't cover it up. See, there's something about trials. See, trials will do one of two things. They'll either draw you or they'll drive you. I'm talking about that cheap talk you talk. When somebody asks you how you're doing and you jump holy on me and tell me that I'm blessed and I'm highly favored, when actually last week you lost your job, lost your car, lost your house, lost your dog, whatever the case might be, and you're talking about how blessed. Now at that point in time in your life, my brothers and sisters, you're going through, but in the midst of going through, I still got to count everything as joy. See, pure joy is real. It's not an acting job. And let me explain to you something. There's a difference between happiness and joy. When you receive your paycheck on Friday, that's just happiness. But see, joy is when you can keep on smiling after you've taken your last penny and paid that bill. And after you got through paying the bill, it seemed like the balance ain't getting any lower, and the only thing you got is broke. Well, see, your happiness went sour real quick, didn't it? And you got to wait till next Friday to have some. That lets you know that ain't joy. See, a joy that's real, a joy that's pure, a joy that can pass all understanding. And joy can only come from God above. I know you thought that when things were going pretty well, you thought you were joyful. But see, joy don't work. Let me explain to you. Happiness comes and you're happy right now. And then a few hours later, something come and bust your bubble. And you find yourself down, disgusted, broke, can't be trusted. Amen. That means that was not joy. That was just happiness. Happiness is temporary, but joy is forever. Finna come to your house now. Let's look at some trials. If you wake up in the morning time and you discover that somebody has stolen your car, that's a trial. And you think
You really not worried because you got insurance. But hold up. When you call the insurance company, you discover that last month, as you were happy, you forgot to pay your insurance premium. All right, all right. I'm finna go somewhere. Because you ran short and you felt that you could get by without it. Now the source of your only transportation is gone. That's a trial. And I'm gonna leave you hanging for a minute. Or you go to work, and that job that you've been working on for 15 or 20 years, when you get to work on Friday, they tell you, well, the plant is closing. Your job is gone. That's a trial. Or you get a call from your doctor about the health results from your test, only to find out that he says you need to come back into the office because there's something that's not right with your blood work. That's a trial. Or a storm comes around and just struggles and destroys that old raggedy house that you almost had paid for, but you dropped the insurance on it because you thought you were through. That's a trial. Trials will come to everybody. Just because you saved, sanctified, and call yourself filled does not exempt you from having trials in your life. Amen. See, and there are two types of trial. I'm fixing to work with some of them now. That's what we call trial suffering. And sometimes God allows these things to come into our life in order to bring out the best in us. You don't believe that? Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1 and 2. And you'll discover a very familiar story where, and I think it reads on, it says, and it came to pass, in other words, it happened, that God did test Abraham. He said, now I want you to go in and take your son Isaac, the one that you love, and I want you to go into the land of Moriah, and I want you to go up on that mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. That's a trial. Your only child, and God says, I want you to go, and I want you to make this sacrifice. Then another example of trial suffering is when we look in the book of Job, and we see that Job was a perfect and upright man, yet God allows Satan to cause suffering to come upon Job's family and upon Job's body. But yet, when we look in Job 121, we discover that Job is right here in the middle of our text this morning. Job says, naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return to the earth. Said the Lord giveth. Help me somebody. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then sometimes we have to learn to thank God for the situation that we're going through right now. Because see, you don't know where God's going to take you. I keep telling us you got to go through something in order to get to something. Help me somebody. Now, and then we have what we call temptation suffering. These come from the devil. And we all know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the reason that the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, to not say that when I'm tempted, that I've been tempted from God, because God cannot tempt us with evil. Amen. And he tempteth no man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. In other words, don't say that God caused it. Just say, I caused it. I messed it up. Then when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 33, the word says that God is not the author of confusion,
But he is of peace to all the churches for the saints. Now, Satan is the prince of the air, and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And it can be said that trials and temptations are often on the opposite side of the coin. What I'm saying is that God is sometimes trying to get us better, and on the other side of the coin, Satan is trying to destroy you. How does suffering come? Sometimes suffering will come all of a sudden. That's even when you fall into different and diverse temptations. Sometimes problems come that you never expect, and they will knock you off your feet. And you begin to say, God, how am I going to make it? Just count it as joy. See, sometimes we have to have obstacles in our way in order for us to be able to climb to where God is trying to get us to. Trials are certain, they're going to come. And trials will always be different. My problem may not be your problem, but don't think you're the only one that's going through. All of us are going through and dealing with something, but the problem is we don't know how to count our problems. Quit complaining about them. Take them as joy. These problems. Can I come to your house? Financial problems. See, when the mortgage is due, somebody say, what do I do? Somebody start tripping. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Count it as joy. Physically, when your body is beginning to rack with pain and you discover sickness in your body, if it ain't high blood, it's low blood. If it ain't diabetes, it's cancer. If it ain't cancer, it's something else. And our bodies begin to break down on us. And you begin to say, God, what's happening to me? But you got to remember, from dust I came. And from dust I will return. But right now, don't give up the towel yet. Somebody ready to die and go to heaven. They ain't ready to go yet. Tell somebody ain't ready to go yet. I know I'm catching hell right now, but when my body begins to rack with pain, I just look in the word of God and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Then sometimes we have some spiritual situations, amen, when you don't know which way to go. Seems like when I try to do right, things get worse. Anybody been there? I'm trying to praise God, and it seems like my life going to the pits of hell, even in the midst of me trying to praise him. But God told me to tell you this morning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. See, God don't count like you count. I know that bank accounts say zero, but see, God said, the earth is mine, the silver and gold is mine, the cattle on the thousand hills are mine. Now, if he's your daddy, quit counting what's in the bank account and begin to count what you're getting ready to be in the bank account. What are you talking about? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither had it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for me. Now, I know I'm sitting on zero right now, but I'm looking for my breakthrough to come through. See, I'm looking for some joy to come into my life. I've been crying all night long. I've been going through this, that, and the other. But then I can realize and say that joy is on the way. How am I able to stand when bills are due, when body's sick, when loved ones seem like they walk away from you? Well, what happens is I begin to say that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's how I'm able to hold on in the midst of the storm, because joy down in my soul. What's the purpose of suffering? God allows suffering to come into our lives. Why does he do this? Because the word of God, if we look, says now, suffering produces endurance. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, and that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Suffering also promises us rewards in heaven. For the Bible says, blessed the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. So even if you're suffering right now, I came to tell you that there's something in store for you. How do I respond to my trials? You having a pity party? Crying? And says, I don't know why I'm going through. I don't know why I have to cry sometimes. Kind of crazy story. Because the Bible says Jesus wept. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. And when I begin to find myself going through these trials, I've got to begin to count everything as joy. I've got to go down on my knees and begin to pray to God and begin to thank God for my situations. I begin to thank God for my circumstances, knowing that there's a peace that passeth all understanding. And no matter what you're going through, you got to learn to count it as joy. Anybody here ever been going through some stuff in your life and you didn't know how to react to it? Well, let me put it in reverse for a second. When you look back at the trials that I mentioned to you earlier, I told you I wasn't going to leave you hanging. You can find some joy. Yeah, anybody here need some joy? Remember the car that was stolen? Well, let me tell you, the thief didn't get very far. They went about 2 miles. And after going about 2 miles, the motor locked up. However, the insurance company said that you didn't pay your premium last month, but you had 2 more days of coverage left on your insurance policy. But hold up, don't shout yet. Because, see, insurance don't pay for locked up motors. It was a blessing that the thieves stole your car, because the next day the motor was going to lock up on you and you didn't have no money to buy no motor. But God sent a thief by there that stole that old raggedy hoop there, and the thief took it down the road and the motor locked up. And then I began to sit around and say, God, what am I going to do? They done stole my car. But then after a few days, yeah, I look in the driveway. Anybody ever look in your driveway? Look in your spiritual driveway. And now I got another car parked in the driveway. The motor ain't knocking. The premium ain't past due. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You remember that job I told you about that you worked on for 20 years and the plant closed down and you were worried to death saying, God, what am I going to do? The plant had shut down, but after a few days, the plant secretary was looking over the books and she discovered that you were entitled to some severance pay. Now, you didn't have $10 in the bank, but she said the company is going to pay you $10,000 in severance pay for all the years that you dedicated to the company. I tell you, I lost that job, but I began to count everything as joy. I went from $1 in my savings, and now I got $10,000 in severance pay. God will, God will, God will make a way. And after you got $10,000, all them other bills that were behind, you were able to pay your bills off. You had to lose your job in order for you to get debt free. Somebody ought to count everything.
sing and joy in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Anybody here looking for some joy this morning? You remember I told you that the doctor said you need to come back into the office. Your blood work wasn't right. But after you got there, he tells you that they discovered that the diabetes that had been in your bloodstream, all the diabetes is gone. The cancer cell that had been in your system, all the cancer cell had disappeared from your blood work. He just wanted to check it again. Count everything as joy. Everything. Everything. I'm talking about having some joy. What if the doctor said, ain't no more cancer, ain't no more diabetes, ain't no more high blood pressure. Count everything as joy. You remember that old raggedy house that the storm had blown away? You almost had it paid for, and you thought you'd suddenly you had to move. But guess what happened? Guess what happened? Somebody came along and said, you lost your house. And so what we gonna do? We gonna build you a brand new house. We gonna build you, and see, sometimes God has to destroy the raggedy house in order for you to have a better house. Count everything as joy. Instead of living in that shack now, I got a nice 3-bedroom, a split level, talking about joy. Talking about joy. Somebody here ought to have some joy. I was living in a world of sin, had plenty of money, was having what I called a good time, but I was having to look over my shoulder and to see who was after me. But then one day, Jesus came and he saved my soul. Anybody here ever had your life changing? I started a new walk in Christ. I don't have to worry about who's behind me because I know who's in front of me. I don't have $1 million, but guess what? I can sleep at night. I'm talking about joy. Joy. Anybody here need some joy in your life? And I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Weeping might endure for a night, but in the morning, joy will come. Anybody here need some joy in your life? Somebody say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. It's morning time. Somebody looking for some joy. If you're sick, he's a doctor. That's joy. You ever been in trouble? If you're in trouble, he's a lawyer. That's joy. Whatever your problem is, God is able to solve your problem. Don't, and somebody said, Lord, you can take my car. You can take my house. But don't take my joy away from me. I'm glad that I got joy. Joy, unspeakable joy. And see, when I think about all the things that the Lord has done for me, I begin to hear joy bells ringing. Tell somebody, they started ringing, and I look back over my life, and I see where the Lord has brought me from. It causes me to have joy. It causes me to be thankful. And I say, look where the Lord has brought me from. And right now, I know you might be going through, but count everything, everything as joy. Financial situation, let me tell you, hold on. Help is on the way. And see, let me tell you, God is able to take you from broke as a joke to rich as a king. And see, that is the king. He's the king of kings. And one of these days, I'm going to swap. Anybody ready to make a swap? I want you to reach down into your pocket. I want you to take all that sorrow and say, God, I'm ready to swap in my sorrow. I want to exchange it for some joy. And see, I can see Jesus right now as they're getting ready to take him to Calvary. And all of his homeboys, all the religious folk begin to have a pity party and say, how how we gonna make it without Jesus. But see, they tell me that they whipped him all night long. Why were they whipping him? Because my blood couldn't take the whooping that it deserved. And they tell me they marched him up a hill called Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. And they began to pierce him in his side. And somebody said, why did Jesus have to go there? But I count everything as joy because my black sin was up on that cross and that red blood was about to wash me white as snow. Then they took him down and buried him in an old dusty grave, and somebody said, it's over. But no, I'm going to count everything as joy. I remember what he said. If you tear this temple down, in 3 days, I'm going to get it back up again. And all night, the first night, he laid there. Somebody had a pity party. Somebody crying right now, and you think it's all over. All night, the second night, somebody thought it was all over. But early, on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. I'm so glad he got up. And because he got up, I've got joy, unspeakable joy. That's the reason I clap my hand. That's the reason I pat my feet. That's the reason I shout hallelujah, because I got joy down in my soul. And see, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, anybody ever thought about how good he been to you? Have you thought about how good he been to you? When you think about how your life was tore up from the floor up. And then there was a man by the name of Jesus that died that I might live. I'm thankful that I've got joy. When I ought to be crying, I'm shouting, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Pockets might be empty, but I'm going to get me a praise in advance shout. I'm going to praise him for what he's about to do. See, I get joy when I just think about what Jesus can do. And if the Lord never does anything else, he's done enough. I thank God I've got joy. I got joy. Might not have a dime in my pocket, but I got joy, unspeakable joy. Might not have a Mercedes Benz, but I thank God for my bicycle. I got joy, unspeakable joy. See, right now, God is getting ready to transplant you. He wants you to get up out of that sorrow garden. Get up out of that pity party garden and say, I'm going to plant you anew. New life, new hope, new joy. Somebody needs some joy? Anybody want some joy? Anybody want some joy? Tell the devil, I want my joy back. I want my joy back. I want my joy back. Yeah. He's all right. Does anybody know he's all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah, he's all right. I got my joy. I got my peace. This joy that I have, guess what? My enemies can't take it. The devil can't take it. The devil can go to hell because this joy that Jesus put out in me, it makes me shout. It makes me laugh when I ought to be crying. But I thank God. I thank God. I count it as joy. Somebody right now, you've been counting wrong. You begin to count your problems, your situation, your circumstances. And they begin to be real numerous. But all you got to do, can you count to three? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I put these three amigos together, I'm finna go somewhere now. When I put these three amigos together, they add up to be happiness, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness. And see, I begin to get excited, and I quit praying to God about how big my problems are. And see, I begin to speak to my problem and say, problem, I got a big God. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. And see, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And before you can touch me, you got to go through God. Somebody got joy? Have you got joy? Have you got joy? Anybody here ready to shout for joy? Are you ready to leap for joy? Can you say, I was living in sin. I was headed to hell. Didn't have nothing to live for. Wasn't afraid to die. But then Jesus gave me joy. He gave me love. He gave me peace. And I'm thankful for my joy. Start counting your joy. Start counting your joy. Somebody ought to start counting your joy. Say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for my enemies that hate me. It just called me to love them more. God, I thank you for my stumbling blocks. I don't want you to move them, but I'm just going to be able to go around the situation because can't nothing stop me from reaching my destiny. And I thank God for the rough side of the mountain because the rough side give me something to hold on to. I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain and I'm going to make it because I've got joy. Have you got joy? Have you got joy? Have you got joy? I ain't talking about that fake smile you got. Have you got joy? And somebody can be able to say that God is the only one that was able to keep me. See, sometimes storms will come. And if you don't have anything to protect you, you won't be safe in his arms. But somebody here needs to be safe. Let's all stand.